I had that passion to keep going with personal training and with fitness. I kept pursuing it. And this was going through a time, you know, 19, 20, I was still hitting the drugs pretty hard. So, yeah. You know, 5 days a week, I was a PT, I was all health conscious. And then 2 days a week, I was a drug addict.
Which makes it real hard to rock up on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Absolutely, it does. Yeah, there was a few Monday mornings where I'd rock up and, I'd either still be going from the weekend or I'd just be really unhealthy and I'd have to sort of, you know, try and cover that up and be that motivating, healthy trainer.
It's not good for business, and it's not an easy thing to hide as well. And then you know that you're living at odds with yourself because on one hand, you know, you're living the fitness lifestyle and being that guy, and then you're being a bit of a train wreck the rest of the time. What snapped you out of that?
Yeah, so on my 20th birthday, I going through the motions 5 days a week, solid PT 2 days a week on the drugs, and I went out in Ballarat on my 20th birthday, and got absolutely, you know, just wiped myself off. I was at one pub, I got in a fight at that pub, and I went to another pub, and I sort of initiated a fight, and then I was walking down the street and obviously the word got around that there was this absolute dickhead that was walking around different pubs and trying to start fights. So me walking to another pub, got pulled over by the cops, and I thought I could take on 5 cops. I could not. I definitely didn't have a fighting chance. So I got arrested that night. It was a pretty sort of, from what I can remember, I tried to put up a pretty good fight with these cops because I had this, you know, all this adrenaline running through my body. I had all these drugs running through my body. So apparently I went absolutely crazy and I was pretty injured. You know, I had scars all over my face. I had broken knuckles, all that sort of stuff.
Pretty hectic.
It was absolutely brutal. But yeah, I got locked up that night, spent the night in the cells. Very, very lucky I didn't get charged with anything. But they just put it down to he's absolutely blind drunk. They put me in the cells. The next morning, I had to call mum and say, hey, can you come pick me up from the Ballarat police station? That was one of the hardest calls I've ever had to make. And the next probably 6 weeks after that were absolutely brutal. Again, living in a reasonably small town, word gets around really quick. And the word went around, you know, Sean from Sean Way Fitness was arrested Saturday night. He was on drugs. He was blind. He was trying to fight cops. He got in heaps of fights. It turned out one of the cops that arrested me was actually one of my clients.
Not for long.
I definitely lost them as a client.
Yeah.
It got around really, really quick. And, you know, I was getting phone calls daily from members and clients and saying, hey, look, I don't think we should train anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I was getting cancellations. I lost so much, you know, 80% of my business from one night. So, sure.
Yeah.
It was just absolutely brutal.
So I guess that sort of showed you like that it is serious and it does actually have consequences, because I suppose you spend a lot of that period in your life, and I was sort of the same at certain stages where you just get away with stuff a lot. Like you're just sort of lucky, and then occasionally you're not, and it makes a difference. But like you said, you know, at least you didn't get charged, and then from there you started to sort of limit that behavior a bit more. Was this also the time in your life where you had that really difficult period and sort of couldn't see the light at the end of the tunnel for a little while?
Yeah, it was. And I think most of that was motivated through the amount of, you know, shit I was getting up to. And this night really triggered, you know, my mental health to really, really decline. You know, I lost all confidence in myself when it comes to running a business. I obviously lost, you know, 80% of my business. So, you know, I had no money. I had no career anymore. You know, I'd worked so hard for the 3 years before that to build this name and this business for myself. And one night on the piss and on the drugs had absolutely destroyed it all. So mental health really declined. You know, I was already suffering. You know, I was on medication for depression. But after this, it really did spiral. And I didn't actually hit grog or drugs again after that for about almost a year. I tried to sort of stay clean. You know, I'd have maybe one or two beers every every now and then, or if we were having a celebration or something like that, I'd have a couple of beers, but I never went out. I never got absolutely sloshed. I never, tried to wipe myself off, and I didn't touch any drugs. So
did that mean losing friends?
Yeah, a lot to do with, I just sort of tried to take control of my own actions a little bit more. And I think, when I got home from the police station that day, that was probably something that my mum said to me, and she knew that I had a little bit more in me. She's always been my big supporter, and she just looked at me and said, this isn't all you have to offer. She used to tell me that all the time, and that was a big wake-up call for me to say, all right, well, this isn't the real me. I need to get my shit together, cut the shit out, try and find the real me. And I tried to do that, but over the next 12 months, mental health really declined. I went through stages where I wouldn't talk to anybody. I cut everybody off. I lost relationships with friends, with family. Myself and my best mate just stopped being mates. We used to spend every day together for the four or five years before that. We just stopped talking. And I got to a point where, I didn't want to be here anymore. And I made the decision that, if I was going to go out anyway, it would be through suicide. And it's a really unique feeling when you're going through this, because you don't really see anything else. And it feels so normal to be thinking like that. And that's exactly what I went through. I went through these stages where, I'd sit there comfortably thinking about, how I would take my own life. And there was absolutely nothing else in the world that could change my mind about that. And it wasn't scary at all. I wasn't scared. I was, if anything, I was really, really calm. In hindsight, that's probably the scariest thing about it. But yeah. It was.
And gives you a real deep understanding of what people go through. Cause I think, if you haven't experienced it yourself, hearing it described in that way would be very unnerving or shocking for people, to think that people get in that sort of headspace, but it does make sense.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really unnerving. And, I remember times where, I was in Melbourne one day at a hotel, pretty high rise hotel. And I was with a friend, and, they were like, oh, look at the view. That's such a great view from our veranda. And the very first thing I thought of was, this would be a good place to do it. Just go straight over the edge. It was almost like I was writing a list. I was writing a list of all these things that I could do. I wasn't thinking about anyone else. I wasn't thinking, oh my God, imagine if mum got a phone call that I had jumped off the top of a hotel. I wasn't thinking about my brothers, about my father, none of that crap. I was just thinking about, this is the best way to do it. Mm. It got to a point where I started to fight back a little bit. I thought, no, there's definitely more to life. It's got to get better. I just got to keep going. And then the next week I'll be back at it. And this is when I really, really started to realize that I was going through some absolute, really, really bad mental health issues. And I started to seek a little bit more help. I started to see a psychologist. I started to reach out to my father. My father suffered depression for, half of his life. So I started to reach out to him a little bit. And it seemed to help a little bit that I was talking about it. I was getting to the point where I couldn't talk to my family, my friends, and close relatives. But that unfortunately isn't the only solution to getting yourself on top of all of this. I went through a few other things that really affected it, and again found myself back at essentially back at square one. And there was the last big moment that was a real game changer for me. Was when I used to, I used to go for Sunday drives. I used to get in my car and just go for a drive. I'd go to Melbourne, I'd go to Geelong, to Bendigo, wherever. I would just get in the car, I'd play some music by myself every single Sunday, and I'd just drive. I could be gone for, 12 hours. It was just my way of getting out of everything. It was a pretty peaceful time for me. And at the same time, it was a really scary time because, again, I was back at that point where I was looking at things and looking at places and thinking, well, it'd be a really good place to do it.
Yeah, and you're being left alone with your own mind, which is often the most dangerous place to be.
Really dangerous, yeah, absolutely. And there was one day where, I went out to a bush that is very close to Ballarat here, and I was at a really, really low point in my life. You know, there was really, I couldn't see a future back for my business, and that was my life that I'd built. I wasn't seeing anyone. I felt like I was, you know, didn't have any friends, I didn't have any family, didn't have any support left because I just pushed them all away. And I was out in this bush and parked my car in this sort of open area, and I saw a big, you know, sort of oak tree about 40 metres away, and I just lined the car up and I thought, all right, this is it. And yeah, that's what I did. I put the foot down and I went, you know, pretty bloody quick through this bush. I was heading straight towards the tree. I closed my eyes and I felt this massive crash at the front of the car. And I sort of, you know, when I hit the crash, I sort of tried to, it's almost instinct to try and correct yourself with the wheel, and corrected myself and slammed the brakes on, opened my eyes, and I was sort of gone through some shrubbery and I was sort of on the edge of something there. And I thought, what's going on here? You know, I was pretty straight through the tree, and I got out of the car. And this is the funny thing about a really fucked up story is I got out of the car, and the first thing I did was make sure my car wasn't scratched. And I was like, what the fuck am I doing? Like, I'm making sure my car isn't scratched. I was just about to total it. But what had actually happened is I was heading towards this tree, and about 2 meters before the tree, there was a ditch that was under bushes. And my left wheel had hit the ditch and it bounced me off and pushed me straight into bushes. Which, you know, in hindsight, you can call it a miracle, you can call it fate, you can call it, you know, just a really bloody good accident. But whatever it was a massive wake up call for me that there's something else that I need to be doing with my life. There's more that I should be doing. And you know, I got into the car. My car was scratched, by the way. It actually fucked it up. It was a new car too, so I was pretty pissed off about that. So I got back in my car. You know, I got out of the bushes. I cried for about 3 hours, and I wrote down all my feelings in this on this old piece of paper that was in my car. And you know, I promised myself that was a day that I was going to start seeking help again, and I was going to start to look after myself, and I was going to make something of my life.